Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hello and welcome inside. Happy Tuesday, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Happy Tuesday, buddy. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. We're ready for another run. We got Lakers, Celtics.
Yeah.
So all the
what else do we got, though?
Off of those.
What else do we got? What
the
else
Knicks
is coming
winning.
Up now? What else, though? What else is coming up now? What else?
Is it Batman?
What else? Don't, no, stop, stop.
Batman.
Minutes away from Villanova and Syracuse, just so we know. All of these things. All of these.
Yay. Are we going to be able to get Buddy Boeheim again?
No, I think we're asked and answered done with Buddy Boeheim. Now it's Jimmy Boeheim we need. I mean, we got to move through the Boeheims now.
Jimmy.
When they beat Villanova tonight, we'll get Jimmy Boeheim on. It'll be perfect. And we'll have now talked to Jim Boeheim, Buddy Boeheim, Jimmy Boeheim. Then we got to get Jamie Boeheim. She's got.
No, we
got
to get Mom on. Mom's got.
Well, we
got to
get Julie Boeheim. Yes. No, we have to get Julia. But
yeah,
that'll be the last
key.
Two. That'll be the last day we will interview all the Boeheims.
Yeah. But Mom's key. Mom's the key master of this whole thing, of all the stories and the webs and all the bad times. You know, when, say, little Jimmy didn't have his defensive assignments down or little Buddy missed a jump shot.
Well, if we do that, and then we can write our book, Our Lives with the Boeheims. And we just talk about all the interviews, and it's a whole book. And it will sell well in Syracuse. And, you know, Coach K will buy a copy because they're best friends.
But it doesn't have to be very long. That's the beauty of it.
Oh,
right? It can be like a 20-pager, and we get someone to illustrate it. And now we can put it as a kid's book, too.
So it's a graphic novel. We'll make it a graphic novel.
Well, you can do that, too. And here they are beating the hell out of each other. And then it's 9 pages of just really graphic, you know, wrestling moves as done by Buddy and Jimmy on each other. And Coach coming in and just watching, saying, hey, mind your footwork. And then we go from there.
Yes, the Jimmy V Classic going on at Madison Square Garden. We just had Texas Tech and Tennessee finish in overtime. So the Syracuse tip gets pushed by like an hour. They're getting set to go. The Knicks are beating the Spurs, but
always good tonight, to have a 10:30 tip time, by the way.
It's always great, right? Like they're college kids. What does it matter? They're up late anyway. I mean, come on. I think in 4 years at Syracuse, I think I went to bed at 10 o'clock only when I passed out because I went to happy hour. And I couldn't pace myself.
Did they already have finals, or is that coming up? I know back in Northwestern, it's finals.
Let's see. Today is the 7th. No, not finals yet. Not finals. You know, we went all the way to like the 23rd for finals at Syracuse. In fact, one time I really screwed up, and I booked my flight home for Wednesday, and I had a final on Thursday, and I didn't know that. And I had to go to the professor and say, can I please take this test the day before because I booked my flight home?
I booked with the wrong airline. They're going to charge me a bunch of change fees.
And he was nice. He said to me, sure, you could take it. He goes, you're going to do well on it. I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to do really well on it. And I think I got like a 70. But he let me do it.
Nowadays, that's like a B.
Yeah,
solid B.
If I was going to school now, I'd have been like valedictorian. I'd be giving a speech at the end when I graduated.
I see some of the stuff that my kids, here's what the grade scales are. And I'm like, you basically have to be awake to pass. Even that one's kind of nebulous.
That's how school should be. Are you barely awake? Yes, great. Then you're good. You get at least a B. I had a professor my senior year. And this is how, you know, school. I should, kids, go to school, graduate, okay? Don't follow me. Just listen to my story. I had an English class because I was an English major, and the professor was really cool. He said, listen, I'm going to give you one grade higher if you come to class. If you're a regular in class and you come to like 85% of the classes, you will get one grade higher for coming and participating. We're like, okay, so my first semester, I went and I got an A+. Because I would have had like a B+, but because I went to class, I was like, this is great. And then, of course, second semester with him, I didn't go to class, so I didn't get that extra grade. I'm like, all I had to do was show up and sit there. All you do is sit there. No, I can't do that. I can't even do that. I'm like, you know what? I came. That's fine. And the thing is, I showed up at the end for the final. Like, I barely, you know, I came on and off, and we had to turn stuff in and everything. And he looks at me, and he gives me like this shake of the head, like, you were so good. You came to class the entire last semester, and now I barely saw you. He was really disappointed in me. I felt very sheepish when that happened.
Well, when you get called out like that, I mean, look, you got to keep people honest.
Yeah.
This is what you were supposed to be part of the class. You failed in that objective. Any kind of input you may have given, like you do every night here, great sports talk and sometimes some alternate theories of reality. But the fact is that you show up. And that's all he was looking for there. Maybe you would have sparked a great debate. Maybe you would have sparked one of your classmates onto some kind of greatness. Maybe you would have gotten him off his ass during the semester. I don't know. But obviously he expressed his disappointment that spark was missing from a young Jason Mason.
It was difficult. It was, I tell you. I could have got – because all I had to do if I did that, I would have graduated with an over 3 GPA. And I would have been so excited because I really wanted to graduate over 3. And I graduated like a 2.9 6, and I'm like, really? You couldn't find 0.4 of a point to give me so I could graduate with a 3? As you can see, I'm over it, you know, after all these years.
Yeah, I said succeed and proceed. give me my diploma, and then eventually I went back and got another one. And that one I did really well. But
Good. Congratulations. So you like school more. I was good at school, and then I was done with school. That was my whole thing. I had a sprinter's mentality. Hey, this is great. Now I'm done. I'm finished. I'm done. I don't want to go.
Yeah, no, the MBA program, that's where I excelled. Why? Because we were arguing about real-world stuff.
I would say NBA. Let's talk about the NBA. No, MBA. Oh, no, I don't want that. I want to talk about the NBA. Oh, all right, that's where it is.
Marketing and sales and management. Now, I know a lot about management, so let's go.
Speaking of the NBA, I mean, tonight, per producer Justin Frostberg, tonight is the floating Frank Vogel hot seat meter night. Because
how about
that? Overnight, it's gone from, boy, the Lakers are struggling, and I don't know if they can get it together, too. Frank Vogel could get fired any day. Like, it just jumped to that. Frank Vogel could get fired. The guy won a title a year and a half ago, and now things are not working, and let's face it, I've told you there are certain things the Lakers could be doing, letting Russell Westbrook be Russell Westbrook. They're not. But now the Frank Vogel hot seat meter is running really hot. And the thing is, if you think, oh, it's too early, can you blame Frank Vogel? These are not his players. These are LeBron's guys he wanted. I will agree with all of that with you. But who is the GM of the team? It's LeBron James. Okay, so the first thing that's going to happen is a new head coach is going to come in because that's how it's going to go. Then after that, we can get to some player situations and maybe Russell Westbrook's not working and moving on from there. But no, clearly, he will be the first guy to fall because Frank Vogel, the team is not playing well and they don't look like they're any way close to getting it done. And Vogel's kind of turning into Dave Roberts in that every rotational move he makes gets dissected and thrown out on social media and all of his game strategy is now being broken down out in the open. Like anytime the Dodgers do something, Dave Roberts, why is he bringing in this pitcher? And Dave Roberts gets ripped mercilessly. And it happens that some coaches, it just happens that way. Matt Nagy, it happens to many coaches. We see it, but now you're seeing it with Frank Vogel, where Vogel's rotations, it's like Dave Roberts in the bullpen. So if you think Frank Vogel's not in the hot seat, oh no, that's a really hot seat because the first thing they're going to do is change the coach and then they will change the players. But make no mistake, the Lakers will make moves because they're not just going to give away the end of LeBron James's prime, which may be the rest of this year and one more year when he's in and out of the lineup, because that's what you're looking at with LeBron James. The reality to his NBA career being a star, it may be the rest of this year and one more year when he's in and out of the lineup, because clearly he's has trouble staying healthy. He's not quite the same guy dynamically, and while he can still do it from time to time, you can see he's not the player he was, but he's still good enough if you surround it with enough talent. And this is why there's so much criticism for Anthony Davis. You could be better, and AD could be better, but he's not. He's happy being the guy he is, kind of like Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom was happy being the guy he was. AD's happy being the guy he was. But there's going to be change, because the Lakers aren't going to sit here and suck for the next couple of months. There will be something, and Frank Vogel will be first. So the floating Frank Vogel hot seat meter will start it at zero, because, you know, the game is just getting underway right now. Mm-hmm. It's 2-2. All right, Boston, LA. So the meter's at zero. The floating Frank Vogel hot seat meter we will give you on a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being he could be fired right after the game and 0 being he's going to stay for a while. So right now, the Frank Vogel hot seat meter is right around 0 or 1 tonight. We're just getting the game started.
I kind of dig this, but don't you wish that you still had Jason Kidd lurking behind Frank Vogel?
Yeah, that would be fun. Like
wouldn't
him
that
with
be
like
better.
Yeah, like if he had a clipboard and was always like every time Vogel would do something, you'd see Jason Kidd behind him just shaking his head and making crossouts on a piece of paper. Yeah, no, I don't like that. No, I don't like that. No, I don't like that. I don't want any of that.
Yeah, I think on the plus side, I mean, if Vogel were to go, I guess Fizdale takes over.
Oh, sure.
That's good.
Sure. Sure.
So that's good for business.
Well, Phil Jackson's name is going to pop up at some point. We're going to call Phil. Hey, I'm going to coach the home games only and send somebody else to coach the away games.
I wouldn't fault that strategy. Why not?
Yeah. What we really want. You tell me what we really want.
Well, I wanted the video board and the moving robot on the sideline and Phil from wherever he is in New Mexico. But yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. Well, first I would want the robot that can make the threes. You know, that we've seen, you know, last few months. I want the robot. But tell me you don't want LeBron James player coach. How much fun would that be? Player coach LeBron James. Player coach / GM LeBron James. Tell me you don't want that.
I don't think they can do it. I think there's an NBA rule but whereby you can't.
There's no such rule for LeBron James.
Well,
That's
true. There may be an exemption available there. Yeah, we know he runs the show, right? He goes and picks the groceries as much as you want to look at Pelinka and you want to look at, you know, what Frank Vogel's done. You know, it's clear. Everything goes through LeBron. We talked about at length the number of injuries, and they've piled up. Forget about the weirdness with the negative, the false positive test and return and fighting with the league a little bit on that. But when we look at where this rotation is defensively, they're atrocious. And we thought they would be struggling, but that potentially you'd have that opportunity where, all right, for a few minutes, they'd be good enough to win you games. No, they're not going to win games based on that. And even when the young guys get back, because, you know, you hear this guy, or even some of the veterans, right? Bradley's going to have a rotation. You know, he's going to take 16 minutes and that's going to solve. It's going to solve what? It's like you've been around forever. So, and LeBron on the career as a whole, you know, whether it's 2 years or 3 years and changing his style. And this goes back to what we talked about with bringing in Russell Westbrook. Where's the more likely and easier transition? Taking Westbrook off the ball and having him kind of float or working LeBron and getting him into that Michael Jordan phase of his career where he's working a little bit on the low post more frequently? So I think the latter seems to make the more sense if you can get everybody involved to buy in. And then you've got the whole Bronny James, because LeBron addressed that yesterday, right? Okay, I want to play as long. So that's not even guaranteeing, I guess the fix could be in, as some would always want. Yeah, look, they fixed it, so Bronny James became a Laker. But the reality is that means LeBron's probably playing in another uniform. When that happens, right?
Yeah, that's when he's going to be a Nick. Yes, that's when he'll be a Nick.
Just what you need.
Yes. Kemba Walker for LeBron James. That trade will happen. Just watch. That'll happen. Kemba for LeBron. Let's do it. Twitter it out.
Salaries probably match, don't they, based on the way the contract you gave Kemba?
Oh, yeah. No, we didn't give him that much money. We only gave him $18 million.
It was a joke, buddy.
We didn't give Kemba.
It was a swipe at the Knicks.
Yeah. No, the Kemba Walker era is over. Okay. It's over, Johnny. It's over. And it could be over for Frank Vogel sooner rather than later, because that's just how it's going to go with the Lakers. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. You want more energy, strength, and focus to be the best at what you do? Then it's time for M-Drive, the supplement for driven men who want to get better as they age. M-Drive supports your body's natural testosterone production to boost energy, strength, and focus. Find M-Drive at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop, or visit mdriveformen.com to get free shipping and a 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Visit mdriveformen.com. That's mdriveformen.com. Well, coming up next, we'll keep you updated on all the big games, of course, so far. Syracuse Villanova, 14-14. The Frank Vogel hot seat meter is now up to 3.5 as Boston leads the Lakers by 6. So we'll keep you posted on all of these things. But coming up next, so many quarterbacks getting so much criticism this year, and one guy who has stunk as bad as anybody has been left off of that. Well, no longer. because we're going to tell you about one guy who's been really, really bad, but nobody wants to admit it. That's coming up next right here. This is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo!
College basketball right now. We are nearing the end of overtime between Temple and Vanderbilt. Why do I mention this? Because Scottie Pippen Jr. sent this game to overtime with a three at the buzzer for Vanderbilt. He's got 16 points on the night. And already I am seeing this, Mike Harmon. This is the next Scottie Pippen frontal attack is going to be. My kid's better than any of your kids. Let's talk about legacy. Let's talk about who can win. My kid's better than Bronny. My kid's better than anybody else anybody had. My kid is better. My kid's better. You know that's coming soon.
Yeah, that's tough, man. Because, you know, you had Jeffrey Jordan, who was arrested on a aggravated assault charge back in September. Against a healthcare professional. So you got that going. So he starts, you know, checking boxes saying, look, my guy's on the court. Where's yours?
You know Scotty's going to run that. You know what's going to happen. He's waiting going, they're going to call me for an interview tomorrow if we win. Come on, Scotty, hit this. They're going to call me tomorrow for an interview. I'll be on some kind of show just lighting people on fire tomorrow if you can win this game. Ah, screw it. You send it to overtime. It's good enough. Call me. I'm ready to do interviews. I got bourbon I'm selling. I'll say whatever the hell I want to. I got a book. Just call me. I'll make up stories. Just put me on the radio.
And the little lower third says, Scottie Pippen with quotes, I'm the better dad.
Scottie Pippen, greatest guy in the world. And that'd be the font for him.
Oh, boy.
Scottie
Pippen.
Next
level still.
He's great. Just ask him. That would be another good font.
Well, I mean, sometimes you gotta trumpet yourself a bit. But when you've been named to the NBA all you know, top 50 of all time, and there's all sorts of memorabilia, lithographs, and specials to point that out. I think at some point you just say, all right, the rest of it's noise, and just let it go.
Scottie Pippen, and then just a link to buy the bourbon, where you can actually press your television set and get the link, and it would come up, and you can buy it.
I just always want someone, when they've got him on set, to just show him a side-by-side comparison. Look, you made more money on the court. You did fine. Even with that disastrous contract that you signed because you wanted your security. It still worked out in the end. It's okay.
Doesn't matter. Scott, he's going to beef with everybody. And he's going to use everything he can. He's going to beef. It's going to be beef. Then he's going to sell beef eater gin. Then it's going to be more bourbon. Oh, it's going to be all kinds of stuff. It's going to be a frontal assault of Scottie Pippen selling you things and doing interviews for the next 10 years.
I remember meeting him when he had a kid's book out. That was
he
good.
Wrote a kid's book, Scottie Pippen?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Was the kid's book when you're friends with another kid and that kid thinks he's the best kid and you know in your heart you're really the best kid, don't be afraid to tell people that. Raise your hand. Tell your teachers. Tell your friends. Say, I'm better than that kid even though that kid gets higher grades than I do. I'm better than he is.
All the way back in April of 1997, it was called Reach Higher. In his first book for children, I really never looked to see if he published anymore. Scottie Pippen shares his experience in life and encourages young readers to reach for high goals, no matter what their background or what obstacles they face.
Oh, well, that's a good way to tag.
At that point, he was just a four-time champion.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he was. Look, anybody can win four, right? Look, anybody. Oh, but now you got to win six. Six. Now that's the thing.
Wait. There was another book that was issued that
you wrote another book
called. No. It was somebody named. Robert Schnakenberg, Scottie Pippen, reluctant superstar.
Scottie Pippen, soon will sell bourbon. That's going to be the
time. Hey, man, don't go dissing the guy for selling bourbon.
I'm just saying.
Because I'm telling you, if a bourbon manufacturer, look, they were the ones doing the pitch to say, hey, do you want to talk to Scottie Pippen? Okay. Yeah, you got to let him talk about bourbon for 2 or 3 minutes. What are you going to say? No?
Yeah, but is Scotty going to say anything? You're right. Yes, he will say many things.
I can tee him up. He's going to talk about anything. I might not even get the bourbon read in by the time it's done.
We want 3 minutes on Scott. You know, and that's the thing. To pull back the curtain here a little bit before we get to the NFL is that there's so many times when famous stars do interviews and you have to and they're plugging something or they're selling a product, whatever it is, and you have to talk to them about that. Like their PR people will tell you, okay, you can have Joe Montana. I'm just saying this never happened, but I'm just saying you can have Joe Montana who will talk football, but you have to ask him about Skechers shape-ups or a new magazine he's in or something. You got to ask him these three things. It's like half the interview is going to be about his sneakers, and it isn't. And it's really difficult to do.
Yeah, you know what,
really
though? A lot of those pitchmen, though, they don't, by the time we get them, I mean, just speaking from our experience, they don't want to talk about the product anymore. So the answers are like one-liners, and they'd rather talk about the grab-ass stuff and former football stuff that we were asking about.
Who did we have on where we did the interview, and they were great, and then we asked them about it at the end, and they said, yeah, I don't care. Look, they just go to the website. You can find it online. Who was it that said that?
Oh, that was so good. Yes.
Now they're gonna talk about this for about 3 minutes. I'm going to ask them, okay, what are you doing here? And it's something. He goes, you can find it. It's online. It's on. Just find it online somewhere. You can do
so
it.
So ask more questions about the other stuff.
Yeah. All right, great.
That's why I can't wait for Radio Row in whatever combination it is for Super Bowl here in Los Angeles.
I wish I could remember.
We may have the same
that.
Guys, but they ain't going to sound the same as the other interviews you're hearing on the radio.
I can't think of who did that. That was so fun. Yeah, just you can find it online. Not even with a website. Here's a website is www.buymystuff.com or, you know, no. You can find it online. I'll just go with the Google search. I'll look it up. It's great.
I kind of dig that about it. By the way, you know, for bourbons and other pitches, contact our sales staff if you're out there and you're looking for a pitch man. I like a good bourbon.
Just you sitting there holding a bourbon with wearing purple shorts and a jaunty hat going, I'm Mike Harmon, and after I give fantasy advice, I like to drink bourbon. Sometimes I like to drink bourbon and then give fantasy advice. Oh, boy, is my stuff crazy.
You're saying it like it's wrong. I don't have to just do that. I could do hot take theater for 3 minutes off a sip of bourbon. I mean, a bourbon drink with Harmon. Shot in a beer with Harmon. I mean, I don't know, whatever it's got to be. Let's
Harmon, do I play Hollywood Brown on Sunday? I went to Hollywood 3 weeks ago to go, and I couldn't.
Wait a minute. Why does every guy that's drunk sound like Joe Namath?
Park. I just want to kiss you. And I tried to kiss Joe Namath when I went to this bar, and it was no good. Who did you ask me about? I'm a fantasy football guy. What do you want? What do you want?
That would go viral. That'd be good for the bourbon, and it'd be good for me.
I don't know how good it would be. I don't know if people would ask you fantasy advice anymore.
Are you kidding me? They want to light it up. If they ask questions that included a Bears guy, it would be even better.
Dude, fantasy people are different. They don't want humor. They don't want intelligence. They just want, who am I playing? I don't care. But you're getting me the guy with the most points. I don't care about anything else you have going on. You're getting me that guy. I don't care if you're funny. I don't care if you're classy. I don't care if you're wackadoodle. I don't care. But you got to tell me who I'm going to play, and you better be right. That's what people want. They don't want entertainment fans. They just want, I want to know, where am I getting my points? You tell me where I'm getting my points. That's people want. My finger's on the pulse.
Well, I like to add in and inject some humor, some pop culture, because, you know, in the end, it's you're listening, and now that you've asked me a question, you've got somebody to blame. It's one of the few great things about call-ins when it comes to fantasy football. It's like, all right, now I've now given you the guy to hate. Now, some people reply to that in our industry and really light you up and create problems for themselves, but I don't need to go into length about those here.
877-99 on Fox, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Get ready for the next wave of Scottie Pippen. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. That's discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, look, we spent a lot of time talking about quarterbacks the last few days. And clearly, look, we got stuff on Lamar Jackson coming up later on tonight. look, clearly Zach Wilson's still struggling, though he's looking a little bit better. All the different things, right? And Mac Jones was a big topic on the show last night. Mac Jones is just a guy. You know, Josh Allen incredibly struggling now, and the Bills are an in-the-hunt team now instead of one of the Super Bowl favorites.
You know what, though? He was actually pretty good last night. I had that replaying, and, you know, we watched it in live and living color, and he was betrayed multiple times by Dawson Knox, and he threw a touchdown pass to Stephon Diggs that he catches 99 out of 100. You know what? He dropped that one, and it's all his fault.
He was betrayed and seduced and murdered by the dark side of the Force.
Well, I mean, everybody needed those fantasy points.
A young Jedi named Anakin Skywalker slayed and murdered Josh Allen, and it wasn't his fault last night.
Hey, do you know I bought a couple shares of an unopened Obi-Wan Kenobi figure today?
Wow. Anything for NFT, buddy. You have that going on.
I'm not
on,
even
man.
Kidding. No. It's alternative assets, and it's partial
alternative
shares.
Alternative assets. I love that. That's going to be great when you go to a bank. I need a loan. What do you have? No, I have alternative assets. Oh, yes, give us that. Not money in the bank or credit. No, alternative
hey, they
assets.
They are assets with value, but not in your traditional stocks, bonds, or held in cash. You know, as some folks are still dopey and just leaving them in that savings accounts that earns them a penny every quarter. But anyway, continue.
So one quarterback who has been left out and given a pass this year, and it's time to say you can't give him a pass anymore because he's stunk. He is stunk just as bad as Zach Wilson, and that's Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence may be a bust. Hey, I'm telling you, Zach Wilson may be a bust. Not so you're telling you, oh, we got the right guy. No. For all the positive steps Zach Wilson took on Sunday, he was okay. When he had to throw the ball downfield in the second half, he couldn't. When he was able to throw the ball at the line of scrimmage or 3 yards downfield, the Jets were fine. But when he had to throw the ball downfield, he was inaccurate and he threw a bad pick late in the game. Zach Wilson still stinks, okay? Trevor Lawrence stinks too, and he stinks just as bad. Eventually, you have to flash a little bit if you're going to show that you're a great quarterback in the NFL, or that you can be a great quarterback. It doesn't mean you have to have a great rookie season, but you have to have time where you go, okay, I see why this guy is good. Mac Jones at least has had flashes, but Zach Wilson has hardly had any, and Trevor Lawrence hasn't had any, and you have to be able to flash. And this is the biggest thing. When you want to talk about a guy who might be a bust, and he gets all the defense because the Jaguars' offense isn't very good, and it's not. Urban Meyer is in over his head as a head coach, and he is. There's a lot of discrepancy now with how he used James Robinson yesterday in the game. Look, I get it, but here's what gets me all the time. Because I watch a lot of the Jaguars, and you know when I watch them? I watch them in garbage time. Because I want to see, can Trevor Lawrence at least move the team down the field in garbage time? Because that's what hit me with Sam Darnold last year when I knew he wasn't any good. When you can't move the team down the field when you're losing 30-3, you're not a good quarterback. And you're not going to get it done in the National Football League. Because when it's 30-3 in the fourth quarter and the defense isn't blitzing and they're playing back and they're just trying to not allow you with quick strike plays, you should be able to move the ball down the field. There should be games where, hey, we lost 38-17, but I threw for 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. Yes, most of those yards were in the fourth quarter when the game was decided, but you need to see that. I don't see that from Trevor Lawrence. I still see a guy, when he's under pressure, he doesn't behave like a future star quarterback will. He struggles. He struggles throwing the football. He's got the most interceptions in the NFL off of off-target throws. All right, think about that. The most interceptions off of bad throws. Not an interception that could be on the receiver. It could be because someone ran a bad route. It could be accounting for a player that wasn't supposed to be there. Most interceptions in the league, and his throws are off target. He struggles. He struggles under pressure. He's not someone that's looked comfortable. I thought he was kind of getting it a little bit when they had that Cincinnati, Tennessee, Miami run earlier. I was like, okay, maybe he started. But no, he's not. And now they've regressed. And still they can't. But he gets all kinds of a pass because, well, it's Trevor Lawrence and it's the Jaguars and we got to start slow. Meanwhile, with the Jets and Zach Wilson, oh, the guy stinks. Oh, he stinks. He's never going to be any good. But with Trevor Lawrence, it's, oh, no, let's give him a pass. No, Trevor Trevor Lawrence has not been good. And I wonder how good he's going to be and what his ceiling's going to be as a quarterback in the NFL. He was surrounded by incredible talent at Clemson. And early on in his career, when he was the presumptive number one pick as a freshman, what did I tell you about him? Boy, when your receivers are wide open, yeah, if you have a little bit of talent, you're going to make those throws. And early on, that's what it was. Now, as his career went on, I watched him make throws on the run and throws into tight spaces and really showed me, hey, the confidence he has to make all these plays is great. But when you can pressure him a little bit and you can get him a little bit uncomfortable, he can't throw the football. He's not someone that can find that. And unless he has elite level talent around him, I don't know how good he's going to be. Is he someone that can raise an entire organization? Or is he someone who, hey, if he has great players, he'll be okay? And there's lots of quarterbacks like that. So right now, if you're talking about Zach Wilson being a bust, you have to think Trevor Lawrence may be too, because he has not flashed at all this season. His very first game, hey, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. All right, great. Hey, you think he might be good? And then he has just dovetailed since then. And I wonder about him. I wonder all of it. Is he in the right system? Does he have the right coach? Everything around him. But in the end, I come back to, when they're getting blown out and they're losing big, he still should be able to put some numbers up, and he can't. And that's a big red flag for me, that in even the worst of quarterbacks, the guys that barely play and get any reps, when they get thrown in the game in the fourth quarter because you're losing by 30 and the starter's out, they move the team down the field, and the Jaguars can't do it. I am really concerned, and Trevor Lawrence, he has stunk so far.
Week one is only multi-touchdown game throwing. He's been shut out 4 of his last 5, hasn't thrown but for 60% or higher completion rate but once since week 6. That was that win over Miami. And he did it again in week 11 in the blowout loss to San Francisco, where he threw 16 of 25 for 64%, 158 yards, because that's the other part of this. Look, it's a trash bag situation in terms of the talent. Not that they're not great NFL players, i.e. they made it to the NFL, but if we're going to rank receiving units, I mean, at least the Bears have Darnell Mooney. They can't complete any passes, you know, and you're looking at equating to a time where Sid Luckman was at quarterback and they ran the ball 50 times a game to the amount of yardage they're getting per game. But when we look at, I mean, Marvin Jones has had a couple of spots where he's been the player that flashed at times in Detroit, but certainly not the number one. You look at Laviska Shenault, they don't know what he is. Right, 1 week he's an 11-target guy, and then he gets shut out. Not because of great blanket defense, just that they didn't bother to throw to him. So, you know, he's gotten a pass because Jacksonville's NFL Siberia. So there's nobody paying attention. The James Robinson thing is odd, to say the least. And it's just been a dismal season. But there's so many times you're like, all right, they're so overmatched, you're going to look and get some garbage points. Even last week against the Rams, they got something. Just throw it up, even if it's wrong. Take the interception, because that's the other thing is, you know, Zach Wilson might have been reckless with the ball at times. Trevor Lawrence has taken no chances at all, and he still has those turnovers that really top-heavy because he had those 7 picks the first 3 weeks of the season. And so I don't know if it's gun-shy or scheming away, but you know, you've got to at least exhaust it. Go back to the Peyton Manning conversation we had last night, right? With all those interceptions, you know, 28 his rookie year, you at least knew he was going to still keep firing. At this point, what are you playing for those final 5 weeks of the season?
I mean, that really, you have to consider Trevor Lawrence. We have to reevaluate what he might be as a quarterback in the NFL. Because at this point, at least every quarterback who's going to be good shows you a little bit, and he has not. All of those things, struggles under pressure, inaccurate, won't take chances. That's Trevor Lawrence. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Hey, let me remind you this. If you need and have real credit card questions, they require real people to answer them. Someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. And that's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover. Exceptionally. Common sense. 2 minutes before halftime, Syracuse the 2-point lead over Villanova. We could be talking to another Boeheim after the game tonight. But coming up next, one team I didn't really feel great about in the NFL that I picked to do great things, but now oh, I feel a whole lot better about it.
Cleveland!
It's not Cleveland. It's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Oh, now this I dig.
Oh, yeah.
Why is Queen still playing? Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Still a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter. Lakers putting the finishing touches on a win over the Celtics. We'll have more on the Frank Vogel hot seat meter coming up in a few minutes. But, you know, this first, because we got a big NFL story on the way, too. It looks like, judging by all reports, the Mets are likely going to hire Buck Showalter as their new manager. He is scheduled to interview tomorrow, and Showalter is the guy that clearly is the front runner, and I think as long as he has a great interview, he'll wind up getting it. Steve Cohen likes him. Max Scherzer likes him. And you know what? I'll tell you what, Mike Harmon, I am 100% in complete agreement with every single fan that says, yes, go hire Buck Showalter. You know, because this is not just about the Mets, because this is about what it means to manage a baseball team. And clearly we're going to get through the, you know, the lockout, and we're going to wind up playing games, and the Mets are going to win the World Series.
Course.
But
all of that until that last point.
Because we have Scherzer. We have Scherzer now. Are you kidding? That's how I'm ending all my rough conversations with people. Yeah, and your Jets suck. I go, yeah, but we have Scherzer. And they go, what? Yeah, because we got Scherzer, and that's what's important, you jerk. That's how I end stuff. But with the two schools of thought for managers, right? There's always the managers who manage. They know how to manage the players. They know how to manage situations. They've been around the game a long time. They understand motivating players. And then there's the young manager that everybody wants and understands sabermetrics. And hey, I'm just going to put out whatever lineup the front office wants because I'm working sabermetrics with everybody. And that's kind of the two managers that you have. And it's really easy to know, okay, if you know your team at all, you know what kind of manager your team needs, right? Because you could talk about sabermetrics all you want and all, but if you're a 320 hitter, you're a 320 hitter, right? If you're a pitcher that strikes out 250 batters a year, you strike out 250 batters a year, right? You can do sabermetrics all you want, but you know what? Right-handed relievers are going to get out left-handed hitters, right? It doesn't always work. Oh, the lefty's going to get that. But there's two schools of thought on that. And clearly, look, Buck Showalter, 100%. Because as you can see, the Mets need somebody that, number one, knows how to manage in New York, yes. And mainly, when you have knuckleheaded stories coming up, like the Mets do every year, and other teams have knuckleheaded stories coming up every year. Oh, Lindor and McNeil fought over the size of a rat in the dugout. Baez and Lindor booing the fans. You need somebody that can say, okay, this is knucklehead, but I can handle it, and not let it mushroom out of control. Where Luis Rojas was just the most invisible of figures during all of this time. The Lindor McNeil rat, he was at the bottom of where his involvement was with this. With the booing, we didn't talk about the manager at all. This is where the manager needs to be someone that, hey, I can guide you through this because I understand and know what it means. New York's a pressure cooker. You guys are knuckleheads. Let me deal with it, and I can do it and make you move on. I mean, certain teams need certain managers. You can't just say, okay, here's a guy, and we want a square peg round hole it, because it's almost like an NFL situation where you're bringing in a head coach who's got this system that he likes on defense. You know, I won't say a guy's name, but I'll say his name is Schmabert Schmala, right, who's got this great, we got this great scheme on defense, and I'm going to play my defensive linemen 60% of the time and have guys rotating in and out, and then you wind up getting boat raced every week and you're one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Why? Because you're going scheme over player. And you decide, my scheme is going to work. Well, why is your best player, your defensive tackle, on the field 60% of the time? It doesn't make any sense why you're doing that. That's stupid. But when you go scheme over player,
that makes things difficult. You're taking a coach and saying, okay, now go coach this team that's not really made for you to coach. And it's the same way in baseball, where it's, hey, we're going to give you the manager and you really should be managing this team. Like Luis Rojas should have been managing the Mets last year. They need all kinds of stuff. You got a brand new owner. You got brand new star you signed. You got brand new everything. This is New York. You need somebody. You need somebody to be able to be the guy that can control things. You don't always need somebody to say, hey, I brought in the right reliever for this, and we got this guy out here. Certain teams need certain things. And whether you're the Dodgers or the Yankees, you know what you need. You know, the Yankees know we needed Aaron Boone for a long time because he's a guy that he knows what it's like to play here. He's not going to get rattled. If he makes mistakes, he knows how to deal with it. He's not going to lose his cool. He's been the right manager for them for a while because the Yankees are a playoff team every single year. Some teams need one thing, other teams need the other, and that's why, yeah, a team like the Mets, you need Buck Showalter, right? You need somebody that's gone through it. A team like the Angels that's like trying to sign all these star players, you don't need somebody who's on the cutting edge of being, oh, no, you need somebody like Joe Maddon who has been through it and understands I'm managing star players and egos and everything that goes along with it. Certain teams need certain managers, and this is why, hey, Buck Showalter, who's been everywhere across social media today, and I expect him to be the manager tomorrow, that's what the Mets need to do.
Yeah, I look at it as I don't think you need to look any further than the 9 years he had in Baltimore. And we know what the first reaction, right? You do the word association. I say Orioles. Most folks are just going to yell suck, right? 9 years there. The fact that he was only 15 games under 500 is amazing with mm-hmm. the talent and lack thereof, right? Hamstrung by that terrible deal they gave Chris Davis and all of those. I mean, obviously, that's a even more recent invention, at least the bad end of it for Chris Davis is after Buck Showalter was gone. But the idea that you have a guy that has led players through adversity, who has already been on that big stage going back to his time on Seinfeld and with the New York Yankees. I don't know which was bigger. But the idea that he was in that pressure cooker where every decision, every little piece of news found its way to the back of the fish wrap. He's been there, done that. You've got a new owner who needs someone to just, well, teach him about what he doesn't know, just as you would young players in your clubhouse. So, yeah, Buck Showalter being back at the helm of a major league team, sadly, it'll make your team really stable and potentially good, which is hell for me for 6 months of the year. But the reality is that when you're looking around and you're like, all right, retreads, new guys, whatever else, here's a guy that makes sense for the marketplace that's looking for that extra piece, an extra boost.
Well, somebody else who always makes sense, he's a big part of the market, he's a big part of this show, been a longtime friend of the show. I just quoted him less than a half hour ago, big basketball nugget that he dropped on me 10 years ago that I've never forgotten. Fox Sports 1, NBA analyst and insider, you can follow him on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. It is the aforementioned Rick Bucher. Rick, what's happening, man?
A 10-year-old nugget, the interest that thing has earned. My goodness. I will be sending out a bill. What was it?
It was you and I, because we were talking about Anthony Davis. Lakers win tonight. Yep. They just finished off the win over Boston. And, you know, now all the criticism of how much does Anthony Davis burn to win? You know, could he be a better player? And, you know, you did the big article for the app about what other GMs think of Anthony Davis. And I'll say, I'll never forget what Rick Bucher told me about 10 years ago. We were talking about Allen Iverson, and it was him near the end of his run with Memphis when he played those three games. And you said to me, Allen Iverson loves basketball. He loves playing. He loves competing. He loves winning. And you know what? There's not enough guys in the league like that, because there's so many guys that like playing and like win and like the lifestyle, but being driven to be as great as they can be, there's not enough guys like that.
Yeah. No. It's kind of natural, and it's not exclusive to the NBA. I do think it's exclusive to guys who are just given the unique physical gifts of being an NBA player. And in many cases, they get dragged into playing the game because of their height and because they have the potential of earnings and a lifestyle that they might not, or they don't believe that they could achieve any other way. So they're doing it for what the game can give them as opposed to what they can give to the game. And as a result, as soon as they get what the game can give them, as in terms of millions of dollars and the celebrity and everything else, that desire to accomplish something in the game is that was never on the radar. That was never the be all and end all. And that becomes increasingly evident as you go forward with guys that you look at, go, man, that guy's really talented and he's really well compensated. And where is the rest of it? As opposed to the guys who just come in and they would play regardless of what the game gives them.
All right, Rick, so we see the big win, and for a third quarter, they show up, all that excitement, but turn back the clock just less than 24 hours ago, LeBron James addressing the criticism of Frank Vogel. Is he cracking the door open to the possibility of a coup?
Yeah, well, we shall see. I mean, certainly he's I don't know if he's cracking it open. I think he's leaving it open. He's not. He in no way is trying to close the door on the idea of Frank Vogel no longer being the head coach. The problem is, and I would imagine that LeBron understands this too, is you can't just talk about who you're firing or getting rid of a coach. You have to have an answer as to who comes in and does a better job, who comes in and is able to deal with the expectations and the personalities that you're dealing with. Because I said it from the very beginning, Frank Vogel is a good coach. And if he had the ability, if he had a group of players that were all said, believed, we're willing to do whatever is necessary in order to win a championship, in order for us to bring this home for the Lakers, like the team that they put together 2 years ago in the bubble, all those guys had something to prove. Well, And very few of them were, I mean, honestly, they weren't stars. They weren't all-stars. They didn't have reputations to protect. They didn't expect to be treated a certain way. That's the great distinction between this team and that team, is that if he could mix and match, he could play Russell Westbrook when he's on, and he could sit him in fourth quarter when he's off. He could do the same thing with Carmelo Anthony. If he could do it with Anthony Davis, I'm not going to put LeBron James in that camp, because I think for the most part, LeBron has still been their best player, considering he's almost 37 years old. But he can't mix and match. He can't sit Russ Westbrook. He can't sit Carmelo Anthony. The fact that he's sitting Rajon Rondo is probably stretching his authority in that locker room. So that's the problem that Frank has. And I'm with, Charles or anybody else to put the blame on Frank as if somehow you could make this team better than what it showed it to be simply because of the names is unfair to him, because he doesn't have a free hand, because he doesn't have the ability. And I don't know whether he could or he couldn't, but the fact of the matter is you can't. You're going to lose Russell Westbrook. You're going to lose the locker room. You're going to lose. He doesn't have the authority to be able to utilize this roster the way he might think best, even if he had a plan to do that.
Well, but that's the way it works, Rick, right? Because look, these are LeBron's players. These are the guys LeBron was comfortable with. These are the veterans LeBron wanted. The first move is not going to be we're going to jettison the players LeBron wanted. The first move is going to be we're going to change the coach, and then we'll change the players if we have to.
Sure. And to your point, and if anybody wants to say, that LeBron owes it to support Frank and Rob Pelinka because he had a hand in forging this roster, I'm not going to argue with you. I would say that, yeah, he does. But LeBron has never been that way. I found it very interesting just watching at the end of the game when LeBron comes off and Frank Vogel gives him the high five or the congratulations, and LeBron kind of just there was no celebration there. There was no and what I thought should have been, considering that this was one of the best games that I've seen the Lakers play. And And I do think that they are gaining a little bit of momentum. Russ Westbrook is starting to play and have the role that they expected him to play, at least during the regular season. But I just didn't see LeBron keeping Frank at arm's length does nothing for this team. Like, it would be, I believe, far different if LeBron was putting his chips and his support behind Frank, simply because who are you going to get? Like, there's no coach out there with a ring that you can go hire, that you can go bring in, that is going to have the stature and the presence and the personality to deal with this group that LeBron put together. So I believe it would benefit LeBron and the Lakers as a whole if he was supportive of Frank. But quite clearly by his comments the other day and just by the body language that I've seen, he's choosing not to do that. And I mean, honestly, how many times have we seen LeBron do that in any instance where he spoke up and he supported the coach? I'm not saying he's working against him, but it's never been in his wheelhouse to go out of his way to say, no, he's a great coach and he's doing everything necessary and we should ride with him. If you guys can recall a time where he said that about any coach that he's had, I mean,
there's a reason why he's had eight coaches, Rick, in his 19 years. The best player in the game's had eight coaches.
I was just going to say, I can cite a number of examples when he went the other direction.
Yeah.
go back to Miami and how that started. So, yeah.
Exactly. But, it is the nature of LeBron. And that's why it's funny. I think we talked about this the last time I was on, about this idea of LeBron. Is it time for LeBron to be the player coach, official or unofficial? Is that the solution? And one of the interesting things, and I can't remember if I shared this with you, but like supposedly, well, the league will tell you unofficially that they don't allow player coaches. But it's not written in the CBA specifically that way.
So it
would get very interesting. The feeling is that if anybody decided to anoint a player coach, they'd say that's undue benefit. You can't have a player controlling the minutes of other players, and that there is a clause in there about players having unfair benefits, and they would utilize that to try to stop that. But on the other hand, I mean, in talking to GMs about this subject, I can't tell you how many of them said, isn't he kind of like, hasn't he been a player coach for a while now?
Yeah. I mean, in a minute.
He just doesn't have a title. But other than that, he's kind of been playing that role.
He's on Twitter at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1 analyst. Check out his On the Ball podcast. Do the Warriors get real aggressive to add another piece? Again, check it out on Twitter at Rick Bucher. Rick, as always, buddy, appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Rick.
Great stuff there from Rick Bucher. Look, we told you LeBron could have backed up Frank Vogel, and he did. If you want to make a change, that's okay.